Today, pilgrims are prostrating themselves on the edge of the pool in which the Golden Temple stands, and the sound of Sikh hymns is wafting across the water. 30 years ago, in this sacred complex, the sound of hymns was replaced by gunfire as a bitter battle raged between the Sikh separatist leader Bhindranwale and the Indian army, ordered to oust him from the Akal Takht. It's the second most sacred building in the complex, and he turned it into a fortress. I'm Mark Tully, and I was one of the first journalists allowed to visit the Golden Temple after Blue Star, as this operation was known.
When the army went into the Golden Temple complex, they were given strict orders to avoid damaging the two most sacred buildings. They've succeeded with the Golden Temple itself, but the Akal Takht has been very badly damaged. The front has been knocked out. There are piles of rubble outside, and inside, the stench of death is still in the air.
In the first of our programs for the BBC World Service, called Gunfire Over the Golden Temple, I told the story of Operation Blue Star, the assassination of the Prime Minister Indira Gandhi, who had ordered it, and the anti-Sikh riots which followed her death. In this second program, I'm back in Amritsar, the city of the Golden Temple, to look at the consequences of these events. The charismatic preacher Jarnail Singh Bhindranwale, whose movement called for strict religious orthodoxy and Khalistan, a homeland for the Sikhs, played on the grievances of Sikhs who felt independent India had denied them not just autonomy, but also the respect which was their due. One of the first persons I met in Amritsar was Gumbir Singh, who works on environment and youth projects in Punjab.
My feeling is that Operation Blue Star created more damage to the Sikh psyche than ever before. And then, of course, the assassination of Mrs. Gandhi and the aftermath, which was extremely tragic. And then to believe that to this day, 30 years later, none of the perpetrators of the riots and the people who were lynched and burnt, no justice has come their way. So definitely that's a wound which is still festering.
Support for Bhindranwale and Khalistan was particularly strong among young men from the villages of Punjab, the Sikh homeland. One of the farmers I met was Tehal Singh, living in Chetanpura village.
It's a different generation now. It's a long time ago. The next generation don't have any kind of ill feelings. There might be old people who are still angry, the people who witnessed all this, but we are not angry. There could still be some feeling for Khalistan in Punjab, but there is no real base. People aren't really interested.
In another village, Sansra, Sukhwant Singh, a farmer and police officer, told me that the days when Bhindranwale's violent young militants roamed the countryside had put Punjab back by 10 years and led to widespread unemployment. Tehal Singh said that there was also now a serious drug problem among young men.
People are skeptical about the political parties. The ruling party is not bothering and the youth is going haywire. The government is catching the people who smuggle the drugs. But the government needs to do more. The youth don't have the political or nationalistic feeling. They should think about the country, but they just think about how to make their lives better. They are restless. That's why they go to the drugs. There is no work. There are so many young people who are directionless.
So in this village, there are some youths who are taking drugs.
There are many taking drugs and going nowhere.
We are losing an entire generation in Punjab.
The social activist Gumbir Singh has collected data about the drug problem.
The survey was conducted wherein we found that in the rural households, 67% of them had at least one drug addict in them.
And you would take this back to the Bhindranwale days?
Definitely. It was during those times that industrialization suffered. It was during those times that education took a backseat. And we are seeing that same generation now grown up
Punjab was once regarded as the most promising Indian state, the nation's breadbasket. But one of Amritsar's leading politicians, a Sikh, Dr. Najot Kaur Sidhu, says the violence perpetrated by Bhindranwale's men changed all that.
What happened is, during terrorism days, the whole administrative system collapsed. Teachers didn't want to go out to the schools, so the education suffered. Doctors didn't want to go out, so the health suffered. Being close to the border, close to Pakistan, the industry fled. Without industry, no employment.
Do you think Punjab is in a worse state than most other states?
Exactly. The corruption is rampant. Social responsibility is negligible. We have moved away from our social responsibility. We just have to bring that trust back. And the agro industry, we just have to give it a push.
Dr. Sharanjit Singh Dhillon is the head of the Department of Economics at the Guru Nanak Dev University in Amritsar. He explained the long-term economic and social impact of the Bhindranwale movement.
That was the time it seemed that the economy now can turn towards industry. But that was the time when law and order situation was very bad. And you know, for economic prosperity, peace is very essential. Nobody will like to invest in a state where their capital is at risk.
And did 1984 also have a very adverse impact on the social sector, on hospitals and welfare?
Yes. Particularly in the rural areas. And now, over a period of time, what has happened because of the policies of privatization, private sector has penetrated into the education as well as health facilities, and that has gone out of reach of general people.
Today, do you think there is a danger of a revival of something like Khalistan?
No, I don't think so. And neither we want to remember those days.
But here, inside what is appropriately called Freedom House, is someone who very much believes that the Khalistan movement is still alive. He's Kanwarpal Singh, secretary of the Dal Khalsa, which is a movement that was founded long before Blue Star to promote Sikh independence.
There are many people who still stand for Khalistan. There may not be the proactive struggle going on the ground, but the desire is there.
How much of your support comes from abroad?
The most important aspect of our movement is the active participation of Sikhs abroad. They are our ambassadors.
And how do you see the memory of Bhindranwale now? Do you propagate his memory as a martyr?
Yeah, he's a martyr. He's a sure martyr.
And is what you would call his martyrdom a powerful force in your attempt to persuade people about Khalistan?
Dal Khalsa is propagating and campaigning for Khalistan even before the rise of Bhindranwale. But today's youth, they get inspiration, they get strength, and they get guidance from the thoughts of Bhindranwale and the way he sacrificed his life.
This is Gunfire Over the Golden Temple with me, Mark Tully, on the BBC World Service. The Sikh diaspora around the world is prosperous and influential, especially in Britain. The Indian government was deeply concerned about the encouragement British Sikhs gave to Bhindranwale's Khalistan movement and their financial support. At the British branch of the Dal Khalsa in West London, Manmohan Singh and Gurcharan Singh made it clear to me that they have no doubt the Khalistan movement is still alive. Gurcharan Singh spoke first, explaining what they meant by Khalistan.
We're not promoting the idea of a Sikh state. A lot of this nonsense against any kind of movement in India is that you're painted with a brush of anti-Hindu. Khalistan is an idea of self-determination for the people of Punjab. We are not interested in a supremacist Sikh state.
In Khalistan as you envisage it, would everyone be perfectly free to practice their own religion?
In Punjab, we love the Hindus, we love the Muslims, we love the Christians. We don't want only 68. If they are Christian, have 100 countries in the world. If you have Israel, if the Hindu have Nepal, why not Sikh have a Khalistan?
Large numbers of Sikhs have also settled in different parts of North America. Dr. Palamjeet Singh Ajrawat heads the Anti-Defamation Sikh Council for Freedom of Khalistan.
He disseminates information about Khalistan widely and keeps the memories of 1984 alive.
We are resolute as a nation to bring these people to book. Nobody's going to give us our sovereignty back. We have to get it on our own steam with our own righteous force and then bring these people to justice. I am hoping it is soon. And like the Jewish state, we have to be self-sufficient. We have to be self-determined and protect ourselves. Khalistan, geopolitical sovereignty, that is where my life revolves.
One of the things that rankles most with Sikhs in India and abroad is the failure to convict the perpetrators of the brutal riots that followed Indira Gandhi's assassination. This Sikhs blame on the Congress Party, which was in power at the time and has been in power for most of the years since then. Some leaders of the party have been accused of active involvement in the riots.
Hi, Abhishek, how are you?
I asked the lawyer and party spokesman, Abhishek Singhvi, about this.
I think you have to put things in balance. The Prime Minister from the Congress Party has apologized on more than one occasion officially to the nation. The Congress President has done the same more than once. More importantly, at least 9 or 10 major political careers have been demolished on this ground. People have been prosecuted. I don't think we are in any manner suggesting that we overlook or turn a blind eye. But equally, I can't throw you the doghouse without a conviction.
Talking to Sikhs in India, I found that they don't accept the Congress Party's explanation for the lack of judicial convictions. But for the most part, they do want to put 1984 behind them and get on with their lives. However, many living outside the country seem unable to forget. Jaspreet Singh, a Canadian author who has just published a novel called Helium about the Delhi riots, has an explanation for this.
In India, you have very few options. Some sort of a desperate peace is made. Whereas people outside of India, they have other options. But I don't think it's anger as such. It's more trauma, because what has happened is that not only justice has not been delivered, but this story has not been narrated by the Indian nation state. The crime has not been acknowledged. There have been circulation of lies. The other thing that I have seen is that if you are actually working through the November 1984 pogroms, for some people, it automatically leads to lumping it with support for a separatist movement. But for bulk of the people I have talked to, it doesn't go that way. They are able to separate the two.
Is the Khalistan movement strong among Sikhs in Canada or not?
It is not.
But in London, Jasveer Singh, chairman of the City Sikhs Network, believes there has been a revival of interest in the concept of Khalistan among British Sikhs.
Khalistan as an issue is becoming discussed, maybe not completely openly, but certainly with a bit more ease than they used to be previously. And it's now being referred to as being a Sikh Zion and the equivalent of Israel. The Sikh community is certainly becoming more aware of its past. And there is a lot of information which is now available through the internet and other forms of social media. So there are people within the Sikh community who are becoming aware of certain aspects of what happened in 1984, but perhaps they don't know the full circumstances.
During 1984, there were many Sikhs in Britain who refused to condemn the murder, abduction and robbery committed by Bindranwale's followers. Immediately after Operation Blue Star, one British Sikh caused outrage in India by saying he thought Sikhs would kill Indira Gandhi. Tragically, he was right. Dr. Anne Murphy, the chair of Punjabi Language, Literature and Sikh Studies at the University of British Columbia, has an explanation for this attitude towards violence among Sikhs of the diaspora.
I can't emphasize enough that we must remember that throughout Sikh history and into the present, Sikhs have most often been the victims of violence. The first person to die in a bias attack after 9/11 was a Sikh, and that has continued, that Sikhs have been attacked because they have physical features that seem to remind some people of people in Afghanistan, obviously the wearing of a turban and wearing a beard. The violence that the Sikhs have had to endure and continue to be faced with in the diaspora has to shape our understanding of the politics of being Sikh in the world and how that impacts their relationship with their traditional homeland of Punjab.
I'm now in Southall, which is one of the main centers of the Sikh community in Britain, and I'm in the Gurdwara Singh Sabha, which is an enormous building.
1984 held so much weight because of the incredibly violent suppression of the Indian government, of the civilian population of Punjab, the countless human rights violations.
Shamshar Singh is a spokesman for the Sikh Youth Federation.
The army issued a bulletin where they said that all Amritsari baptized Sikhs are terrorists, and they used that as a justification to target especially Sikh males from the age of 15 to 30. And the violence as a community, we've never recovered from that trauma.
Shamshar's accusation certainly sounds wild, but there was a combined army and police operation to crush the Khalistan movement after Blue Star. During that operation, an official magazine circulated among army officers implied that all Amritdaris, baptized Sikhs, were, in its words, committed to terrorism. Surain Singh Dhanoa, who headed the administration of Punjab at that time as chief secretary, told me there was never any official order allowing illegal action against young Sikhs, but he admitted some officials did, on their own initiative, encourage law-breaking.
The army suffers from one handicap, that they don't have intelligence which the police has. So blindly they started arresting the young boys. So quite a few of them ran away to Pakistan, some to Bombay, some to Calcutta, and some to villages nearby. One of them could not explain his antecedents to the police when they inquired from where he had come. So he was just shot down in cold blood. So I had an inquiry as chief secretary to inquire into this death. The superintendent of police came to me and said, has the government policy changed? He said he had been told by a security advisor that all suspicious persons could be eliminated without any trial, without anything. And this gentleman could not explain his antecedents, so he was eliminated.
Early this year, a new revelation sent shockwaves through the British Sikh community. The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, admitted that a British military officer was sent to advise the Indian government on dealing with Bindranwale.
The Cabinet Secretary found no evidence in the files or from discussion with officials involved that any other form of UK military assistance, such as equipment or training, was given to the Indian authorities. The Cabinet Secretary's report concludes that the UK military officer's advice had limited impact on Operation Blue Star.
It was after the British officer's visit that Bindranwale fortified the Golden Temple, changing the situation dramatically. So the British officer's advice must indeed have had limited impact on the operation the army eventually mounted. Nevertheless, this new revelation has had repercussions for British Sikhs. Jasveer Singh.
There's a full range of opinions within the Sikh community in Britain. But one thing I have found is that there are some Sikhs within Britain who, following the report and following these revelations, have come to question their self-identity as British. Some Sikhs are now saying, well, because of what happened, I don't consider myself British anymore. And those are not just individuals from the older generation. It's more the younger generation.
But in Delhi, where the most violent anti-Sikh riots took place after the assassination of Indira Gandhi, the revelation about the British officer proved a short-lived sensation. At the Nishkam Sikh Welfare Centre, set up for the victims of the riots, the president, Dr. Jatinder Singh Nandra, and the former president, Harbhajan Singh, told me how harmony between Sikhs and Hindus had been restored.
After the riots, slowly and slowly, the Sikhs settled down in the city, and nothing of that sort happened between Sikhs and the other communities mainly Hindus, and today they are quite comfortable with all the communities. I think it's probably the philosophy of Sikhism, which teaches us to accommodate everybody, live happily with everybody. And we always talk about Sarbada Bhala, well-being of everybody.
So you think it was this Sikh principle of well-being of everybody which enabled you to overcome the natural anger and hatred indeed?
Yeah, surely, surely.
We should not talk about Hindu or Sikh or Muslim. We should talk about as a humanity. If the culprits are brought to the books, it is for the sake of humanity and nation. If nation survives, we'll survive. If humanity survives, we'll survive. This is what the religion in reality teaches, well-being of all.
It's a tribute to India's tolerant culture that Sikhs who have seen the brutality of the Delhi riots and suffered the humiliation of the attack on the Golden Temple complex can talk as Jatinder and Harbhajan Singh do. The tragedy of the gunfire over the Golden Temple is a warning to all Indian politicians against straining India's tolerance too far by mixing religion and politics. From my 30 years of experience of this story, I can't help but conclude that Operation Blue Star occurred because Indira Gandhi tolerated Bindranwale's explosive mixture of religious fanaticism and politics for her own political reasons. I also believe Indian politicians should not deceive themselves about the possibility of a revival of Sikh extremism. Disaffected youths provided Bindranwale's stormtroopers, and even now his voice is not entirely silent among the young men with no meaningful employment, many of whom have taken to drugs.
To say that the youth is not affected today with the radical rhetoric which we keep hearing would be wrong. There is talk, but Sikhs are still nationalists. The Punjabi youth is still very keen to remain in the national mainstream, and the social fabric still holds strong.
That fabric was strained to breaking point by the guns over the Golden Temple. It's truly remarkable that it hasn't broken, but that shouldn't mean the lessons from the tragedy are forgotten. You have been listening to Gunfire Over the Golden Temple. The producer was Philippa Geary. Punjabi translations and voicing were by Krishan Tandon. I'm Mark Tully, and this was a unique production for the BBC World Service.